In Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, verses 9 and 10, Brother Avery came and led with the singing at the funeral, the broken rib, and didn't even know he had it. He knew he was hurting. Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, this is our third message in this chapter. We're going to be reading verses 9 and 10. Next week we'll pick up in verses 11 and 12. But this evening we're going to title this, Honor God with Our Substance. He says in verse 9, Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Heavenly Father, tonight we do ask again for thy blessings, thy anointing upon the reading of thy Holy Scripture. We pray, Lord, that thy will to be done in service this evening, that you speak to us, Lord, and Lord, we be attentive to thy word, to the leading of thy Holy Spirit, which in Jesus Christ, and we pray, amen. Last week we were in verses 5 through 8, and we were looking at the subject of that he shall direct thy path. I've mentioned to you that this is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, chapter in the book of Proverbs, and there's several wonderful subjects. Next week we'll be looking at the subject of the doctrine of the chastening of the Lord. You'll find again in verses 13 he comes back to the subject of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. There's several things in this chapter that are very important. In verse 9 and 10, as we come here to this passage, we have a command in verse 9, and we have the reward for the obedience in verse 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. When we come to this subject, I've never had to deal with giving in this church in nearly 31 years, maybe 31 years. They've only been a few that's ever attended here over the years that refused to give. Probably 99% of the people I've never had to say a word to. We have taught on this at different times. I think it's important that we review some verses on it. Just a reminder. And I like to remind myself of these truths. And when we look at this chapter, I want to read verse 1 and verse 5 again. And I want you to notice that with all issues of life, and this issue especially, the real issue is the heart, and it's not really money. It's not really giving. Because when the heart is right, those things come. It's trusting in the Lord with every area of our life. In other words, God don't even necessarily need our money, but He wants us to give. And when the heart is right, those things are right. Verse 1, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Notice then with me in verse 5, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. The heart is the real issue. Basically, with every area of life, that we, when we trust Him, other things will come more natural. Well, let's look at verse 9 for just a few moments. What I want to do is give you some verses from the Old Testament, and then we'll go and look at some from the New Testament. Now, I'm mainly going to just give you references. We will read some passages, but most of them will probably be references. In verse 9, He says here, honor the Lord with thy substance. We know that the word substance here, as in chapter 1 in verse 13, it means material possessions, our increase in life, all the things that we own. It has to do with riches and wealth, money, possessions. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. The word honor speaks of to love or to respect, to obey, and in this case, in the area of our possessions, is to bring praise to. The word honor has the idea of bringing praise to. And we know that in Exodus 20, verse 12, the same word is used, honor thy father and thy mother. The position that they have, we are to honor them, to love them, respect them, to obey them as we're in their home growing up, and always honor them. Well, this is another area that we can honor the Lord, and that is with our possessions. And I know that none of you have a problem with this, but it's something here in the text. One thing about in verse-by-verse teaching, you continuously coming back to particular subjects. And I think that we need them. So our text is basically speaking of giving God our first and also our best. When we look at this, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We find that Israel at times dishonored the Lord by not giving, as he told them. And you can write down Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 23. As we read through the scriptures, we know many times that giving is an act of worship, as singing and preaching and prayer and praise and anything else. It's an act of worship. As a matter of fact, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 16, in the context where that they were building the temple, he had taken up the money so that his son would be able to build the temple. We find that he praises God for the opportunity to give, knowing that it all came from God to begin with. And in that chapter, it shows the silver and the gold and the other things that they collected to build the house of God. In Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 16, we find that giving is a way of showing thanksgiving to God. God told the children of Israel after he brought them out of Egypt, he said, when I bring you into the promised land, he said, you're to bring the first fruits. In other words, he spent 11 verses in that chapter talking about, here's how that you can give thanks back unto me. I'm bringing you into a land that is rich in things. And he says, and you are to give back. It's not that God needs it. It's not that he needs our money. But it's a way of showing thanksgiving. He says here in verse 9, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We find the first fruits. You can write down Leviticus 27 and verse 30, actually the surrounding verses. The word first fruits means that which is chief or that which is the best, the first. In other words, not your leftovers. Many love to give God the leftovers. We're going to read some verses in Malachi about that. When we talk about tithing, some people don't want to hear the word. They believe the doctrine does not apply to the time in which we live. The word tithe means a tenth. And it was God's standard of giving throughout the Old Testament. I wrote an article in 2003 titled Tithing, subtitled The Believer's Responsibility. And basically in this article, I'm not going to go and read the article to you, but basically I put in here that the tithe means a tenth, and it's a starting point, and the tithe is the first 10% of our income. It belongs to the Lord. It's not ours. It is God who sets the standard for giving and not man. And I put on the front of the article, the spiritual test of our stewardship is not how much of your money you give to God, but how much of God's money you dare to keep for yourselves. And so I use that article many times as somebody wanted to know how to give. And I'd say, well, we've always tithe, my wife and I, we've always give above our tithe. We've not bragging about that, but there's much of the time we've given as high as 20% because we just wanted to, not because we had to. And so I used this article for many years. I just put it in somebody's hand if they had any questions. And then along about 6-7 years ago, that got challenged. You know, I don't believe in tithing. Well, they didn't believe in anything, really, so I wrote an article and preached a message in 2015 titled Christian Giving. And what I found, I already knew this, but what I found in putting this in print is that the New Testament has a whole lot to say about giving. As a matter of fact, giving, I'm reading from the front of this, giving is a part of our worship, as in singing, praying, or coming to the Lord's table. Money is a test of character and stewardship. And in my studies of the New Testament giving, and here's what I found. I found 125 verses on the subject, and 75 of those verses are in the Apostle Paul's epistles. See, some people narrow the teaching down to only Paul's teachings. Well, at least 75 times he speaks of giving, and he has two complete chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, on the subject of giving. And so there's no way to escape this subject. As a matter of fact, we may read some of these, but on the back of this article, I laid out some New Testament principles for giving. So if somebody says, well, I don't believe in tithing, fine. I won't even talk to them about tithing. I'll just carry them to the New Testament and say, let's talk about New Testament principles. And here's some of the principles. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, giving is to be done by all. Everyone is to lay by him in store. 1 Corinthians 16:2 also, giving is proportional, according to one's income or means and not according to what he does not have. And that's repeated again in 2 Corinthians 8:12 and Acts 11 and verse 19. Another principle is giving sacrificially. And we find in 2 Corinthians 8:5 that they give of themselves first, then they gave other goods. Another principle is that giving is an expression of the grace of God. The gospel is our motivation. That's 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 6. And not only that, giving is inspired by Christ. Through His giving, we are encouraged to give also, and that's 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, giving is characterized by joy, a cheerful giver. We are to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 11 through 15, giving promotes thanksgiving to God. When our giving blesses others, they glorify God through our giving. Through your giving in this church this past week, there was a lot of people blessed through this funeral that we worked with for a few days and all day Monday. It was nearly dark for everybody left here. Opportunity to preach, opportunity to sit down, seen one get saved. And so our giving allowed us to have a facility to be able to do this. And Brother Avery coming and leading and still not feeling well, and Sister Leah coming and helping, and we were able to minister to the community and help others. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, giving resembles the harvest. God rewards giving, and one's return is determined by his investment. 2 Corinthians 8, 7, giving is obedience to God. As we are to grow in the things of God, we are also to learn the principle of giving. And one more principle, 2 Corinthians 8, 4, giving is a great privilege. They begged the apostle. We'll have time to read that. But they begged the apostle in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 through 5, to allow them to give for Christ's sake. And Paul used other churches to help the church at Corinth to learn how to give, and the church at Corinth did learn how to give. So, verse 9 again, he says this, he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Again, that is giving of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures. That's easy to remember, isn't it? And I think we ought to give God the first part of the day before we branch out into any other activities. Give Him the first part of the day when it's quiet and there's nothing going on. And again, the tithe, meaning tenth, was God's standards of giving. In Leviticus 23:10, the priest would take the tenth at Pentecost and offer that to the Lord and wave it to the Lord, and then days later they would do that again. In other words, it was the Lord's offering. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, Abraham, about 500 years before the Mosaic Law, people said, well, the tithing has to do with the Mosaic Law. Well, the tithing was incorporated into the Mosaic Law in Leviticus 27, verse 30 and 34. But tithing was around 500 years before the Mosaic Law. Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7 speaks of this tithing connected with Abraham. And what we find there, Melchizedek had came to Abraham, and Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. We also find that Jesus in Matthew 23:23 spoke of the tithe. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul, in that chapter, dealing with the ministry, he uses the tithe, he alludes to the tithe that supported the priest and how that the ministers are to be supported in the New Testament. Notice he goes back and uses the Levites. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, I mentioned a moment ago, we could call it grace giving. Well, notice again, he says here in verse 9, come back here to this passage again. Again, it's simple. Give God of our time, of our talents, and our treasures, and that'll make us happy. How many believe that? It's true. I mean, it really is. He says in verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's a principle that's true anywhere in the New Testament. Before law, during law, after law, under grace, the church age, anywhere that you want to go. Now notice, we see the commandment. Now notice now in verse 10, we see here the results or the reward. He says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In other words, we find in this passage, this doesn't mean that everybody that gives is going to get rich. But it means that God will supply all of our needs and He will bless us greatly. That's what it means. Malachi 3:10 talks about this. We're going to read that a little bit later. Ecclesiastes 1:11 talk about this. Isaiah 32 and verse 8 speaks of this. Luke chapter 6 and verse 33. Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 4, the children of Israel, God so took care of them that their clothes didn't wear out in the wilderness journey, the shoes didn't wear out, and the feet didn't even swell walking in the desert. God said, follow me and I'll take care of you. Haggai in chapter 1 and verse 2 through 10 speaks of those who rebel against God, that they'll earn wages and then put them in a bag and the bag will have a hole in it. You can earn a multitude of money and still yet lose that money. Now let's turn to chapter 11 and read two verses and then go to the book of Malachi and then we'll step into the New Testament. In chapter 11, and in reference to our text in 3:10, Chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, God just blesses those who are faithful and those who give. He said, there is that scattereth and yet increases. Notice someone that gives. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. In other words, holds more than what he should hold, but it tendeth to poverty. Verse 25, the liberal soul. Now this is one time you want to be liberal. Now, in the political arena, you don't want to be liberal in America. But this is one time. He said, the liberal soul, that is someone that freely gives. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. God is just simply saying, I will bless you if you bless others. That's what he's saying. Now, let's go to Malachi and read just a few verses. The main thing is that we're to give him our first. And we're to give him our best. And notice we can see this in Malachi chapter 1 and also in Malachi chapter 3. God gives us money to use for our family, for our church, for the kingdom of God, to help others. He doesn't give us money to buy expensive toys and waste and whatever. He gives us money to use for His kingdom and for His glory. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy some of it, but God gives us money for particular reasons. And we find here in Malachi, coming down, I'm going to skip some verses and not take the whole context. You could go back and read it. He's getting on to the priest and the people in verses 6 and 7. But verse 8, he says here, he says, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, give God your first, give Him your best, don't give Him your leftovers. And there were times, there were some in children of Israel, they'd bring the worst animal, the sick animal, or whatever, and going to give it to God. And He's saying, go and try to give this as taxes. Go try to give this to the governor. He said, you don't honor me. He says in verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and ye say, where have we despised thy name? Verse 7, they offered polluted bread. They gave God the stale and old bread instead of the fresh bread. Come down with me toward the end of this chapter in verse 13 and 14. This wearied the Lord. You see, it's the Lord that gave Israel everything they had. He brought them out of bondage and gave them the land that had fruit trees and houses in it. There was things they didn't even have to plant. But He was wearied with them many times because they would not be obedient to Him. Verse 13 and 14. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful, that is feared among the heathen. He's saying the heathen even fear more than my people does. Notice in chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. So in this book, in these two chapters, we see the principle of bringing our first and bringing our best. He's going to mention the tithe here. I'm reading from verse 7. He says here, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So we see here the principle of the first, the tithe, and the best, Don't bring the leftovers. Don't bring what's sick or what you don't want or what you don't need. The principles are here. And this same truth is in the New Testament. Notice in the book of Acts in chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, I've got an entire message on verse 35 titled, It's More Blessed to Give Than to Receive. Notice as we come to Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is meeting at Miletus with the elders of Ephesus. He goes through a list of things that he has taught them. He encourages them to continue in the truth. And the last thing that he says to them before they kneel together in verse 36, 37, 38 and pray and depart company, he speaks of the Lord Jesus and his teachings, verse 35, but I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is what Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John all taught. In other words, it's more blessed. The Apostle Paul, in his final instructions to the elders of Ephesus, he quoted from the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings. He says, it's more blessed. In other words, it brings happiness. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it also brings freedom from covetousness, greed, and selfishness. This is the overall teaching of the Lord Jesus and what he handed down to the apostles. Notice Jesus' teaching in the book of Matthew in chapter 6. In Matthew in chapter 6. Sermon on the Mount. Some of his first recorded teachings. The first four verses is dealing with almsgiving. From verses 5 through verse 15 is dealing with the subject of prayer. In verses 16 through 18 is dealing with the subject of fasting. And it's not an issue of when or will you give. It's an issue of when you give and when you fast and when you pray. And toward the end of this chapter, verses 19 through 24, we find here that he speaks of laying up treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not take over. He speaks of the heart in verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's a very important verse in this chapter. Jesus is teaching, showing that our hearts always are tied to our treasure. So we've got to be careful about where that is at. He tells us to be single-eyed in verses 22 and verse 23, to be focused, to have spiritual vision. And he says in verse 24 that we can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is riches. But then he tells us in verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that we need, shall be added unto us. Now let's read the first four verses from this chapter. We find here in verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Now some carry this to some extremes, and wouldn't even put money in a collection plate because they think that's doing it publicly and, you know, whatever. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about when our giving, that we don't blow the trumpet, you know, so that everybody know exactly what we're doing. It's not talking about putting money in a collection plate or things like that. But here we find in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is teaching about giving, about praying, and about fasting. And he says, and when you do these things, each one of them. Turn with me, please. I'm just trying to think where to go. There's so many passages that we could look at. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I mentioned a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 9. As we read through the New Testament, again, I told you how many times I came across the subject of giving. But in Mark 12, verse 41 and 4 through 44, the poor widow's mite, Jesus was observing her give of her poverty. And Jesus took notice of this and brought his disciples to him and says, watch this. And he praised her for what she gave. She gave out of her poverty, not out of her overflow. The woman in Matthew 26, verses 16 through 13, the alabaster box that the Lord gave a memorial to, says, when this gospel is preached that this should be mentioned, she gave of her best. She gave of her best. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, speaks of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. He said, this is our reasonable service. God has never asked anything unreasonable. In the same chapter, you have the issue of giving in verse 8. Giving. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1, 2, and 3, the weekly assembling together and giving. I know that in the context, there's a particular reason for giving for the poor saints at Jerusalem, but still yet the principle is there. In 2 Corinthians 8, if you're taking notes, he speaks of the churches of Macedonia. And it's called the grace of God in verse 1, but it's the grace of giving. And he speaks how they gave out of their deep poverty in verse 2. And how willing they were to give. And he says in verse 5, and this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. When we give ourselves to the Lord, the rest of it comes fairly easy. And it also says that in verse 7, therefore as ye abound, that is increase in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see, the latter part of the verse, see that you abound, that is increase in this grace also, and this grace in the context is giving. And he uses the Lord Jesus also in verse 9. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This whole chapter is dealing with giving. And he goes back into the Old Testament and brings these principles into the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice as we come down to verse 6, 7, and 8. And this whole chapter is speaking of giving also. The ministry to the saints in verse 1 is the subject of giving. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now notice God has promised to provide everything that we need if we're willing to give. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And he continues to speak of the giving and verse 9 through 15. And as you give, it blesses others. And then when they're blessed, they bless God. And when God is blessed, God blesses us. This just, you know, that cycle of blessings there. Turn with me to Hebrews in chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to close here after I give you just a few other passages. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 9 already. I'm going to write that down. It's in the article as well. Quote from it. Paul goes back and dealing with the church and giving and the ministry and ministers. He goes back and takes the Levites and uses them. And he says in verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And he uses the Levites, how that in verse 9, do you not know that they, the Levites, which minister about holy things, live of the things of the temple, and they that wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So not only the church, the ministry, the minister, in other words, all of this is included in the teachings of Jesus Christ, the apostles, as well as Moses, Abraham, and others. We also find that in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, he says, charge them that are rich, and he speaks again how that they're to conduct themselves with their finances. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 13 through 20, verse 13 through 20, we find that he speaks how that the church at Philippi had communicated unto him in material things. And he actually makes a statement in verse 19. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can anyone claim that passage? No. Can anyone claim that passage that is a giver? Yes. He's writing this to the church because they were a giving church, and they supplied the needs of the church and the ministry. And so he says that God will supply all of your needs. As we read through the New Testament, beginning in Acts chapter 2, when I say read through the New Testament, I'm thinking of the beginning of the church, the early church. You find in chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5, even in chapter 6 and verse 1, you'll find the issue of the saints giving for the needs of the ministry. I'd like to close here in chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. There's many other passages. I've only picked out a few. But notice as we come here, you see the tithing brings equality to all of the saints of God. Probably no two people make the same amount of money. But when you talk about the tithe, all give the same percentage. May not be given the same amount, but they give the same percentage and they're equal in the eyes of God. The widow, the poor widow, was equal in the eyes of God as anyone else that would give, even though they would have more finances. Isn't that a blessing to think about? That if we tithe as we should, everyone is equal in the church. If one made $2,000 a week and another made $200 a week, and we just follow that basic principle in giving, that doesn't mean we have to stop there, but if we follow that in the eyes of God, everyone is equal in the assembly. They're all given proportionately as God has blessed them. See, that's a wonderful thing to think about. Notice as we come here reading verses 15 and 16. Now, he's going to talk about how that we are to praise God, offer the sacrifice of praise, but he also says, don't forget to give. Verse 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 16. But to do good and to communicate. This word communicate here has to do with giving, imparting to others, distributing to others. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased with our praising him with our lips. But he says, don't forget, he's well pleased with our sacrifices that we give to the Lord and give to others in his name. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you tonight for loving us. We thank you for the privilege to be able to assemble together. And Lord, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. And we thank you for the teachings that we find here. Lord, we just ask tonight for thy blessings upon the remaining of the service. Lord, every prayer request that will be lifted up tonight, Lord, we pray, Lord, for your presence and your blessings to be there. And Lord, the hymns that we sing, we pray, Lord, for thy help. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.